So I want to pick this up from Wednesday, where we were from promise to conception. I want to share what happened. One of the great questions in my heart that finally got answered was, how did Abraham and Sarah carry the promise for 24 years? Because he received the promise at 75. And by 99, the father comes back to me. In chapter 12, he's 75. In chapter 17, he's 99. The father finally visits him again after his Ishmael experience at 86. God didn't visit him for 13 years, didn't say a word to him from scripture. Then he comes to him at 99 and he reiterates his promise, changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And he says, by this time next year, you'll have a son. He comes in chapter 18, tells Sarah, kings are going to come out of your loins by this time next year. They both laugh at God's the point. Abraham laughs at God. You remember, he falls on his face and laughs at God. Can a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Sarah laughs. God calls her out on it and said, oh, but you did laugh. She said, no, I didn't laugh. He said, but you did laugh. So I'm going to call your son laughter. But when you look at Romans 4, it says, Abraham staggered not the promise of God, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what he had promised, was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. So you look at that level of testimony of faith that Romans 4 declares, and then you look at Abraham's life at 99, and you're thinking, okay, what happened here? Because to me, he didn't sound like he was very strong in faith. He actually said it. He said, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. He said, can a child be born to him 100 years old? He wasn't fully persuaded that God was going to do anything. So he'd been carrying the promise. Here's the good news. He'd been carrying the promise for 24 years. Say 24 years. But he gets birth in 1 year. What happened to them that caused them to shift so dramatically from that state of unbelief? Even at 99, she's 89, he's 99. They're still in unbelief. But all of a sudden he shifts into full-blown faith, staggering not the promise of God. Listen, by the way, that's how fast you can shift. In 1 year, he couldn't do it in 24, but in 1 year, he got it. So I'm thinking, what did he do? Because I wanted to know. I wanted to know because I've been carrying the promise. Listen, I want to share something with you. How many of you are carrying a promise right now? Raise your hand. Carrying a promise from heaven above. So if you're carrying a promise, that means it's not been fulfilled yet. Here's the order that God works in. He sends his word to you. That word's got to come back to him because the word that you carry needs something. It needs something, but the first thing that word's going to do when God sends it to you, it's going to try you. The word of the Lord's going to try you. Joseph said, the word of the Lord, he goes, tried me until the time his word came. What's it doing to try you? What does it mean? Well, the word's going to draw out of you everything in you that's going to try to produce that promise. Everything in you that's going to try to produce that promise, it's going to draw that out of you. It has to draw it out because when God fulfills your promise, he's not going to contend with you. Does that make sense? All those 24 years, God was drawing out Abraham's capacity to try to produce that promise in his own strength. Remember the first thing he wanted to do? Let's get Eleazar. Let's get a son born in my house. He'd be the perfect heir. What's he doing? He's trying to negotiate the promise. So that didn't work. So the next phase is Ishmael. Amen. He's looking outward. Now he's looking inwardly, but he's looking in the wrong place in his flesh. So the promise that you carry is designed to try you first. Amen. Till you come to an end. You're not going to come until you're finished. You can't come to God's place of done. I'll say it like this. Until you're done, you can't come to his place called done. Do you know God has a place called done? You can't go there until you're done. Amen? So that word's going to try you. It's part of carrying it. But once you get to the point where you're broken, how many of you have been broken? Amen. You've been walking with God long enough, you get broken. That's part of a process, by the way, but you can't stay broken because the promise is not going to birth in a broken place. It's just designed to get you out of the way. Amen. But when it gets you out of the way, something needs in this mic. I don't know what's going on with it. So when it gets you out of the way, then you're getting ready for birth. So we get an idea here by revelation of what happened. And it said, Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith, say through faith, Sarah received strength. That word strength is dunamis. Say dunamis. She received dunamis to conceive. Say dunamis. Dunamis to conceive. So what happened was, she's carrying this promise. God said, it's got to be born a promise. But all of a sudden, they come to a point in their life that they receive this credible substance that God created the whole world with. He created the world with the invisible word of God. We know the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that appear were not made by things that do appear. And he says the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Say clearly seen by the things that are made, even his eternal dunamis power. So Sarah and Abraham, by default, they receive this dunamis, and the dunamis causes their promise to conceive in them. Now, her womb conceived, but that promise conceived too. Because before 24 years, that promise had not moved to a conception phase. It was in promise phase. As long as I'm in promise phase, that's where I'm at. Promise. The promise has to move to conception before it moves to manifestation. Amen? All this is going to be done inside you. So like Bree said, I got to get back in touch with what happened. See, her word conceived and was carried, and she put it on a shelf, but all of a sudden, started hearing these teachings, she got back into being in touch with it. Once you conceived, all you got to do is stay in touch. So she received the dunamis. In fact, it says Abraham did too. Because in Romans 4, and I want you to go to Romans 4 and look at this. So Romans 4, and I'm still in review here. Romans 4, this is a very powerful verse because this happened in the final year of Abraham. This happened when he was 100 years old. He didn't get this till he's 100. Look at this. He said, being not weak in faith and considered not his own body now dead. How'd you know he's 100? Because his body was now dead. Because it said it. His body's now dead. Romans 4:19. He considered not his body what? Now dead. You ever get to a place where it seems like everything's dead? You got this little flame going off inside you? And everything around you is dead? Don't worry about what's going on around you. It's not going to originate around you anyway. God's blessing didn't originate in his body first. It originated in heaven. Watch what happened. He said, consider not his body now dead when he was about 100 years old. That's how I know he was about 100 years old. That's how I know he obtained that, because it said it right there. Amen. Thank you. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that word able is dunamis, by the way. He was able that what he had promised through dunamis power, he would perform it. See, your word has to be conceived. There has to be a holy conception on the inside of you. Now, the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me on this. He began to show me Mary's womb as well. Now, you remember the story that Gabriel come and announces the annunciation. He announces to Mary, hail, woman. You're highly favored of God. He says that holy thing's going to be born of you. And he announces that Christ can come out of her womb. She didn't even carry a promise. I had a question about this. I'm like, Lord, Mary did not carry this promise. All she did, she conceived the day Gabriel announced it. She said, be it unto me. And she says, oh my God, he's done great things for me. And she has all this amazing, her heart explodes, and she knows she's been chosen of this. And he says, that Holy Ghost, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come over you. She goes, how's this going to happen? She goes, the Holy Ghost is going to come over you. And then he said, the Holy Ghost and, say and. I want you to see this. I said, I want you to see this. Hallelujah. So go to Luke 1. It's really powerful. Because the same thing happened to Abraham and Sarah happened to Mary. Dunamis come over. Now, I did have a question, because Mary didn't carry a promise. And I have the answer to that question, praise the Lord. If you were here Wednesday night, you would know. Glory to God. So, watch what happens. So that Gabriel comes and announces in verse 28. He said, you're highly favored of the Lord, Mary. She goes, how's this going to be? Verse 30, Luke 1 and verse 31. He said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. See, she's going to conceive. It says he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. Boy, he's talking to me about thrones. That throne is in heaven. He inherited it, brought it up to heaven. He's going to bring it back down to the earth again. Verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And, say and, the dunamis, that word power of the highest, That dunamis is coming out of the right hand of dunamis power. The Holy Ghost is bringing it out of the right hand of the Father. And the Father, that dunamis is coming out, and the Holy Ghost overshadows her, and she divinely conceives. The Son of God himself was conceived by dunamis creative power in the womb of Mary. And the Holy Ghost calls that conception through dunamis. Same thing that happened to Sarah happened to Mary. And she said, be it unto me. Notice her response, verse 46. Oh, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. He'th regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done great things for me. She conceives, and I'm thinking, glory to God. I wish it had been like that to me. God speaks to me. I conceive the same day. Praise God. 9 months. Out comes the promise. Hallelujah. Boom, 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 boom. I'm thinking, why did it happen for Mary? And the Spirit of the Lord come on, he said, because Abraham and Sarah already won that battle. He said, because she was representing a nation that was carrying the promise for 2,000 years since Abraham. God had been promising, and here is where it came. Do you remember on Mount Moriah when Abraham, God called him to take up his promised son up there? He said, I want you to offer him, Abraham, on the altar. And Abraham was literally going to, after waiting 25 years, he was going to put a knife to his own son. And the angel of the Lord, it was actually God himself, said, stop in Genesis 22, stop your hand. I know now, Abraham, that you would not withhold your own son. Now listen, this is very important. He said, because you would not withhold your own son, Abraham, I swear to you that I will not withhold my own son, and I will send my son through your loins. And your seed, Abraham, will possess the gates of his enemy. And in your seed, this son I'm going to send, all the nations and families of the earth be blessed. I'm not only saying it to you, I'm swearing to you I'm going to bring him in the earth. When he won that battle, they birthed the promise out of death. God said, I'll bring my son out of the womb of spiritual death to redeem all mankind. And when Abraham would not withhold his own son, God said, I won't withhold him. I swear to you, I'll bring him into the earth. From that day forth, God set that promise. He had said it back in Adam. He said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head. But boy, he really set that promise in with Abraham. And he started promising. 2,000 years since Abraham carrying that promise. And he finds Mary and said, Mary, you're highly favored. But somebody's already won this battle for you. The Holy Ghost's going to come upon you. You're going to conceive because God's going to fulfill his promise to Abraham. He swore to him he's going to bring a seed, and you are the one he's bringing it through. But he conceives Christ the same way Isaac was conceived by dunamis. Isn't that glorious? Give God glory. Hallelujah. Listen, when she says something very powerful here. She said, verse 54. Oh, I didn't understand this until the other day. He hath hoped or helped his servant Israel. See, Israel, the promise was to Israel. See, the promise was to the world, but Israel had to give birth. It was the seed of the woman, Israel, that had to give the birth. See, Mary, God was working with a nation here. And he said, in the remembrance of his mercy, say the remembrance of his mercy. He said, as he spake unto our fathers to Abraham, and listen to this, and to his seed forever. He had already spoke to Abraham that in your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the earth. And all Mary did, she caught on to what God was doing and said, wait a minute, God already promised us to Abraham. He already promised his seed would possess the gates. He already promised the seed would be forever. And he's chosen my womb to bring and fulfill this promise that he made to Abraham. She reiterates to God that day, and the Holy Ghost comes upon her. And she conceives that day. Isn't that amazing? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Now listen, the same way that these miraculous births took place, this is how God bursts promises. He bursts it within. I'm going to have you listen to something here. As I mentioned this a couple weeks ago about Paul Young Cho, had the greatest church in the world. I remember reading his book a long time ago. How many of you ever read his book, The Fourth Dimension? Paul Young Cho in the 70s, he has the largest church in the world. The largest in the world. Million person church. I mean, we went there. I told you about South Korea. We went there. He talked about how he did it. His book wasn't real detailed, but he knew how he did it, but he really wasn't able to explain to everybody. But he said something. So Carlos went to go check on Paul Young Cho, and he got this clip. I want you to hear this.
Faith was belonging to the future. Oh, God, next year something gonna happen. Oh, God, next month something good is going to happen. My God, next week something gonna happen. Nothing happened. I was always living in the hope, but I did not experience. But when God showed me this truth, when I began to harbor the future as a present experience in my heart, in the visions and dreams, things start to happen.
Did you hear what he just said? What he was saying was, he kept hoping, oh, next week something's good going to happen. Next month, next year something's good going to happen. He goes, he was in the arena of hope, and God showed him, he said, you've got to harbor your future into your heart now. It has to move into your heart now. This is how he birthed the greatest, the largest church in the known 21st century. Go ahead.
My own life, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. That church pregnant. Which is being built beyond Han River, that vision is so vivid to me. That it's not future things. It is already there in me, in visions and dreams. I'm pregnant. Those are growing here right now. Growing. My babies are growing here. I have twin here now. I have twin. Newspaper and the new sanctuary. I have twin. Those are growing here. Those are moving in me. Whenever I pray, kick around and move. I feel. And I sleep with those babies. I wake up with those babies. I eat with those babies. And I play with those babies. These two babies are together with my own life. This is the life of their situation with me. I can never separate my visions and dreams from my own life. My total life is involved with this vision and dream, which is in me now. While I live, these shall live. If I die, these shall die. We are together. If you become this situation, you really believe, I tell you. You go and ask a woman who is pregnant, do you believe that you have a baby? She will say, are you crazy asking that question? But don't you doubt that you have a baby? Babies in me. How can I doubt? It's move around here. Through 30 years of my life, at the beginning, I always thought that the faith was belonging to the future. Oh, God, next year something gonna happen.
Isn't that glorious? What he was saying was that he was divinely impregnated with the promise. And he said he had a promise of having a newspaper. And he had a promise of building the largest sanctuary in the world at the time for church. And it became so part of him that he felt it as a baby on the inside of him. And so what happened was when the Spirit of the Lord began to show us this progression of prayer with the Father, he said, when Jesus said, you pray to the Father, he gave an actually prototype pattern for that. He said, before you go pray to the Father, let me bring you into the presence of the Father. He goes, let me bring you to him. You be with me where I am. We've taught all this in detail about the position of prayer. He goes, and when I reveal the Father in that day, I'll no longer speak in Proverbs, but I'll openly reveal the Father to you. In that day, you can ask in my name. When you come to me where I am in the Father and I reveal the Father's love, that happened to me back in October, but in about mid-February, he began to say, now pick up the Constitution again, because I laid it down for 4 months. I just enjoying his love. I said, I'll just stay in love the rest of my life, you know. But then I began to ask him, and he says, "You, when you pray, believe that you receive and say, and you shall what? Have. Those are two different things. And I knew that I was supposed to receive. I didn't quite know what I was supposed to receive, but I knew I was supposed to receive from the Father direct, because he says, when you pray, ask the Father my name and he will give it to you, and then I'll do it for you. Once he gives it to you, I'll do it for you. And I realized what the Father was giving was dunamis. Say dunamis. And I realized that I didn't really know the problem, because I've been carrying these promises for years. And I started bringing it up to the Father, and I said, I just started doing the receiving after the love. And all of a sudden, one day, I broke through February 25th, one day, but then March 11th. Say March 11th. I'll never forget March 11th. I wrote it down. I had the Father encountered me. I come out of that encounter. I was in the love of the Father, but he gave me something that day. Now, I didn't know what he was doing. I did know, because I knew something was going to come to the Father, but that day I received dunamis for this first faith assignment that God had asked me to do, and it represented about 2 pages of this Constitution. He led me these 2 pages. He said, I want to start here. So I started there, and he said, let's start here, and we're not going to do the whole thing at one time. Because I've been carrying this for some part of this for 28 years, other parts for 10, 11 years. So we started in two pages. But something came over me, and I said, Anna, something happened today. I have it. When you carry your promise for years, but it's not until that promise conceives. When it conceives, say conceives. That promise conceived inside of me. Something happened that day. And the next day I woke up, it was there. The next day I woke up, it was there. Something happened. But the most unique thing about it was the Father was there too. He came with it. I mean, I know how to dwell with the Father and his love, but when I'm dwelling around this promise, I never had anything like this before. Because something on the inside of me became living. And then Carlos finds out Paul Young showed, they're like babies. I got 2 babies. He had a newspaper, because God promised him to have his own newspaper and his own sanctuary, and he carried them around like twins. He goes, they're living. They kick on the inside of me when I pray. And what would happen, I'd come into prayer, and all of a sudden, this thing I've been believing for, I've been believing to receive, it deposited in me. It came alive in me. And it was living in me, but the Father came into my heart and was fellowshipping with me in it. It's the most, he still does it to this day. We're doing it this morning. That's why I didn't want to leave. It's the most glorious thing ever. It's one thing to fellowship with the Father in love. It's another thing for the Father to give you something that you love in his love. Do you know there is a difference between riches in glory and deceitfulness of riches in the earth? Do you know there's a difference between those two things? You know the difference between mammon of unrighteousness and kingdom of God? You know the difference between love of money and love of God? There's a difference. There's a difference. When the Father gives you something, it had nothing to do with the world. Because what I received, I didn't get from the world system. I didn't get from any part of it. The Father not only gave me the dunamis to conceive this promise, and I'm carrying it now. Oh, I'm carrying it. How long you got to carry? It doesn't matter. I'm having fun every day. It's growing every day. Like Bree said, I get back in touch with it. It lives. I bring it before him and it starts living. The most unique and interesting thing is this is what I want to share with you today. He came with it. I said, Father, you came with this. He wasn't this. See, we get the idea. We believe we receive, then we'll have. And God's up there. You're down here. It's not like that. When you receive, Father comes with it. He comes with it. I'm like, you are with me here. He goes, I am. I'm coming to oversee it. He goes, I was with my son too. And boy, I started meditating on that, and I thought, when did the Father actually come with the Son? He that sent me is with me, the Lord said. Oh, we know that he stayed with him all the way to the cross. Because he said this night, he's telling his disciples, the shepherd's going to be struck. You're all going to depart from me and leave me alone. He said, yet I'm not alone. But my Father's with me. So he goes into the garden. He's having this struggle in the garden. He goes back two or three times, you know, major struggle. I mean, he's knowing the care of the cross, and he knows he cannot do that without the Father with him. Even the Son said, I and myself can do nothing of myself. He didn't even go to the cross by himself. He didn't go through the beatings by himself. How do you know? Because he's in there. He goes back. He goes, can you not pray? He goes back second time. Can you not pray? He goes back a third time. He comes out in the glory of God on him. And the soldiers approach him, and they all fall out. That's where you see slain in the spirit. The soldiers slain in the spirit. Peter lops off the ear of that servant. I think it's Malchus is his name. And Jesus takes his ear and slaps it on him. At that point in time, I said, look, we're not going to arrest you today. I was a soldier. I said, you know, we're going to let you go. Then he said something. He says, can I not presently now call my Father? 12 legions of angels deliver me. Does that sound like God's with him? Father's with him. Goes with him through the beatings. Goes with him through the scourging posts, all the way up to the cross. And he's hanging there with him. And then the Father, the final minutes of the cross, the Father has to withdraw because he has to pay the price. And then when the Father withdraws from him for the first time, he says, Eli, Eli, Ela sabachthani. He's, why hast thou forsaken me? The first time he had ever been outside the presence of his Father. So we know he stayed with him to the very end. But when did he come? When did he show up? When did the Father come? He goes, he that sent me is with me. Did he come the day he was ordained at the baptism of John? Before that, age 12, he's in the temple. Parents left him for a whole day in the temple. So they leave him in the temple. He's over there. They are just scouring the streets of Jerusalem. Then they go in the temple and they see him, and at 12 years old, the doctors and the lawyers are astonished at his answers. And they said, where have you been? He said, did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? Father was with him. Who do you think trained him and equipped him for who he was? When did the Father actually come? The Father came with a conception. As soon as he conceived, the Father came, and that's when the Father showed me something. When you conceive the promise, see, when God sends the promise and you're being tried, you don't feel like God's with you all the time, because that promise is a trying phase. But if you get that promise, when you get done with yourself trying to fix it, do it, fulfill it, and you bring that promise in the presence of the Father, you begin to receive dunamis for the conception. Man, if somebody like me had told me this 25 years ago, the pain. If somebody would have told me, you don't have to wait, you can be marched right into the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit has been given to you to show you how to come, how to transfer jurisdictionally into the presence of the Lord. The Lord's going to reveal the Father as the ministry of the high priest. He's going to reconcile you to the Father. Man, if somebody would just, oh, the pain. I'm delivered. So I'm in his love for 4 months, and all of a sudden the Father comes and he sends this dunamis and he conceives one part of this promise. And I'm like, oh, whoa. And every day he's dwelling with me here in my heart. It's just unreal the amount how much he loves. And his love comes. Because I told you that your promise needs three things. It needs the word, dunamis, and love. The word is represented by the Lord, dunamis by the Holy Spirit, love by the Father. They're all three there. But the primary ones there is the Father. Now listen, when you get the Father up into your spirit and you're carrying a promise, ladies, like you're literally pregnant. I don't know what it's like to be pregnant, of course, but I do know what it's like to be spiritually pregnant. Now I was, in a sense, pregnant with the word, but I hadn't conceived. I don't know how to explain that. There's a difference between carrying his word and conceiving. Your promise has to conceive before it gets manifested. What it's waiting on is conception. It's waiting to conceive. You got to get it into the presence of the Father. Receive the dunamis for conception. Once it conceives, the Father steps in. When you're fellowshipping around it, I promise you this date since March 11th, I haven't had 1 ounce of doubt, unbelief. Now here, when I'm walking in the earth, I don't even think about it because I don't do my praying here in this realm anyway. So I don't even think about it. I don't try to have faith in this realm. I don't sit there going all the day, I rebuke that thought, I rebuke that thought, I rebuke that thought. I believe I see, believe I see, believe I receive, believe I receive, believe I receive, believe I receive. I don't do that. That's hard work. I'm not into working hard anymore. I've got Lily's grace on me now. What is the Lily's grace? I don't toil. I don't spin. I don't labor. I don't travail. I sit. How much work you think that Lily's doing? They don't move very much. All they do is bloom. They don't spin around wondering if I'm going to bloom. Wonder 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 if I'm going to bloom. Father, when am I going to bloom? When am I going to bloom? When am I going to bloom? They don't do that. You don't do that in the presence of the Father either. In the Father's kingdom, there's no kind of agitation. There's no anxiety. There's just rest, peace, love, lots of peace, lots of rest, lots of love. There's no effort like that, no spinning, no toy, no anxiety. That's why you want to do all your faith in there, in that arena, because you're in His system, see. The world system is spinning. God's system is resting. You see, and you get in that rest, and you get your promise operating in the rest of God, see. And you do that, and the Father's love comes in there, and He makes that thing so living. He walks with you in your promise. Oh, my God, we were walking this morning. Whoa, that was awesome. I wanted to spend a couple more hours on that. It's the most amazing thing. I'm like, how much do you love us? He said, more than you could know. He goes, but I want you to teach people once this conceives. I want you to teach people how this works. I said, I'll start teaching them now. I mean, once it manifests, it's in conception form now. Your promise needs to move to conception. Amen. This is how Abraham said he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice what he said. This is how you're going to get this. It's not until dunamis comes that this verse says being fully persuaded. Verse 21 say fully persuaded. You're not fully persuaded in your mind. That's not where it's going to work. The full persuasion doesn't even really work in this system here. It's in the Father when you're in prayer before Him, when you shut the door and you to the world, the flesh of the devil, when you're in front of the eye of God, like she was talking about. You get in front of the eye. The Father that dwelleth in secret seeth you. Say, seeth you. Now, Father which is in secret, pray to the Father which is in secret, and that Father which is in secret will see you. You got to be where He's at. And you're in the presence of the Father like that, and you're rehearsing it and acknowledging what you receive, His love starts filling you up. And He, in the living Father's dwelling in your living promise, and you're fully persuaded that what God had promised by way of this dunamis conception, He will fulfill. This is how faith works. This is how the miraculous. Nobody had ever heard they could build a 50,000 seat sanctuary. In South Korea, have you ever been to South Korea? Buildings don't go east to west. They go north to south because there's not a lot of room. Everywhere in South Korea, the buildings are just straight up. I've never seen so many high rises. And he's got this vision to build this huge sanctuary right in the middle of the city and have a million person church. He goes, I have babies. I have babies on the inside of me. I do this because I have babies. He didn't know how to get people pregnant, but he knew how he got pregnant. He didn't know how people conceive. I know where the conception comes from. It comes from the Father. It comes from dunamis. It comes exactly the way the Lord said it to do. Go to the Father. Let the Father love you. Then ask. And then believe. Because you receive the Father's love, then you can receive the dunamis. If you can't receive His love, you're not going to receive dunamis very well. Amen? That's why Jesus said, I got to bring you to the Father first. Do you have any idea when graduation comes how it will radically transform your life? Because our whole life, even in our Christianity, our full gospel, where we do this, you know, we do all that, and we go back to our life, and we keep doing the same thing. God is going to radically invade that. The kingdom, don't look at the kingdom through your eyes. Look at the kingdom through the word. Because the kingdom is nothing like this system. The kingdom will invade the system, but it's not going to originate in this system. That was my big Achilles heel. I kept trying to get God to originate my blessing in this through commerce, through these huge things I was involved with. Come and originate this, and then we'll call that Mount Hebron, and hallelujah. God said, no, 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 no. This is going to originate in riches and glory. It's got to conceive within you. That holy thing you carry has got to conceive on the inside of you. You got to carry it like Sarah did. You got to carry it like Mary did. You got to conceive. When you conceive and the Father comes dwelling up inside of you, then you're going to know what faith's really about. Then you're going to understand how to be fully persuaded. Because the Father comes. I said, you've come with this, Father. He said, yes, I've come. And he said this to me this morning because I said, the most remarkable thing is you came with this promise, and we're dwelling in this morning. It was amazing, and it's just all glorious. And you come with this, Father. And he said something to me. I'm never going to forget this. He said, I've come to assure that this will not miscarriage. Isn't that glorious? Give God glory. Hallelujah. As long as you're in the Father, you will not miscarry. I've miscarried in the past, but I wasn't with the Father. When the Father's with you, you will not miscarry. Isn't that glory? The Father came at the conception of Christ. When your promise conceives, the Father's going to step up inside of you. He says, you are now the temple. I'm closing with this. Temple of the living God. Say, I am the temple of the living. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be a God unto you, and I will be a Father unto you. The tabernacle of God is with man. The Father can't wait to get up inside of us. The Father can't wait to come dwell in us in this hour. This is the hour the Father's going to dwell in his church. This is the hour Father God's coming to dwell in his tabernacle. In that awesome glory, Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep these words of John 14, 15, 16, 17, and I'll bring him into the Father where I'm at. And where I am, there shall you be also. My Father will love you. And once my Father loves you, then you get to transact with him. And then my Father and I will come and make our abode with you in the earth. He's coming into the realm of the heart, and he's bringing the kingdom with him. And when the Father comes and dwells with your promise, it's not like you carrying the promise before. It's not like that. The Father's there to assure that the promise will manifest into the earth. He came with the transference. That's how you'll know. It'll come with assurance. It'll come with a confidence that's not of this world. It'll come because this is a difference. I want you to know the difference between carrying your promise and conception. When you conceive, The promise conceives and the Father comes. The Father will dwell with you in that promise. Like Paul Yonggi Cho, I have babies. I live with them. I sleep with them. I wake up with them. They kick. It's a living promise at this point. It moves from promise to conception. You have a living God entity on the inside of you. Amen. I'm like, God, what else do we get to do? He said, let's get this one out. I'm already, I said, can I get pregnant again while I got this one? Can we do it again? Can I have twins next time? I'm ready to carry more. There's more. I got 2 pages that God says, I got 158 pages to go. Oh, when you get to know the joy of birthing with the Father. I had no idea how intimately involved he would be with the process. I didn't have a clue. I thought he'd just give it. He'd be up in heaven. We're here. Holy Ghost would manifest it and be on. Father's all up in your mix. He loves what you're asking for more than you do. Do you hear what I said? He loves, and he is as our, to my knowledge right now, he's more interested in it than I am. I'll be praying. He goes, let's go dwell in your promise. I'm like, okay. Because I'm dwelling with him in love. He goes, let's go dwell in the promise. His favorite, I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to make light of this. His my favorite place. Obviously, his favorite place right now is where I meet him, is in my promise. I go in the promise, and he's there, and we start dwelling, and it just comes alive, and it's so living. I'm like, wow, this is glorious. He gives you songs, and you're singing about them, and it's a whole nother realm. He goes, and he said this to me. He said, the demonstration needs to be extreme, large, big. Going to shake the religious system, I promise you. Give God glory. Now, I want to say this before I close. Okay, put my tree up there. Amen. See, that's what it looks like now. That's what, okay. That's your promise. That's a mustard seed tree right there. The one he said, if you had faith as the grain of what? Mustard seed. That is come from a little seed smaller than the tip of your finger. Do you see that? Now, God said, he didn't say have little faith. Mustard seed faith is not little faith. Mustard seed faith is understanding and operation of how faith works. Okay, your promise, what God's promising you, needs to be that big. Amen? But you don't have to have faith for something that big. If you're trying to have faith for something that big, you're missing how heaven works. You don't have to obtain faith to produce that. Okay? If you're trying to produce that by faith, you're never going to arrive there. All right? So what Paul's going to show you, I need to take that future and I need to bring it into my now. How do I get that finished product into my heart? He said, yeah, faith is a grain of mustard seed. He says, when you stand praying, believe you receive what Father's going to give you. He's going to send his word is a seed for that. The promise, you hold the promise. The Father's going to conceive that seed on the inside of you. He's going to send dunamis, but he's also bringing love. So all that big thing comes into here in the heart. Amen. And the glorious thing that happens in the exchange with leaven and faith is all of that starts. Once love comes in there and the Father comes in there and dunamis comes in there and the word comes in, it starts growing. Say growing. And it grows inside of you here. You're not responsible for producing that. Get that out of your system. God will do that. Jesus said, I'll do that for you. What you're responsible for is getting the components in here that God can produce that with. And the components are the word, the dunamis that conceives that word, and the Father's love. When you get these three operations working inside you, and every day you start bringing them to the Father, they start growing. You start dwelling in it. Your future comes into your heart, and you start dwelling in your future now. That's exactly what Paul Yonggi Cho was talking about. The God of the impossible brings the impossible into your heart and makes it possible. And as it grows and expands, you're carrying it just like a woman would carry her baby. You're carrying the precious birth. And there's a coming day once you conceive, that it opens. And there it is. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.